Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. Megan Buchanan is my guest today. Megan is going to talk about tenacity, and we're also going to talk about there's just a few days left until she heads over to Mount Everest. So, Megan, how do you feel? Are you excited? Are you nervous? What's your emotional state right now?
Oh, that's always a good question because it changes moment to moment. There is it's a really good mix of, I'm excited. I'm so excited for, you know, all the time or over 2 years of really training for this, and all the preparation is the day is finally coming up, and but it's just the day to leave because then all the really hard work starts too. But also just anxiety about, you know, the next 12 days. I really have all my gear laid out. You just have to keep going through, checking your lists multiple times to make sure that you've got everything, weighing everything, last minute fixes. And actually what's gonna lead into tenacity today is, you know, I am 12 days out, but I discovered last week that my high mountaineering boots, my triple mountaineering boots, are not going to work. That they're injuring my ankle. I had to go to an orthopedic surgeon to get x-rays. Everything's fine. But I'm looking at one of the most important things, your boots. I don't have a fix right now. And so what's going to lead into tenacity is then you got to kick into gear and don't give up and find an option, find a solution. So that's actually one of the big things I've been doing last week and this week. So that's a little nerve-wracking to not have my boots ready.
You know, it's a conversation between us women, and hopefully a lot of other women will hear this or are listening. And there's one question I thought about as I was looking at one of your Facebook posts. You're doing something the majority of human beings do not do. And females, we go through a cycle. When it comes your time of the month and you're climbing a mountain, how do you deal with that?
That's a two-part answer, because actually one of the things is I ended up going through early menopause. I went through full menopause at 42, like 41, 42. Wow. I'm 46 right now. I made the choice to go on bioidentical hormones and get my life back. Oh my gosh. And they've been amazing. But I actually do not have a menstrual cycle, which I was like, sweet. And so, I mean, the sad part was that was nice. But before that, you have to deal with it. And there aren't a lot of women that do this that you can get good advice from. And so it is important. The company I'm climbing Everest with, Climbing the Seven Summits, they actually have this wonderful woman who she actually is a mountaineer as well. But now she runs kind of the operations for everything. And she has a sheet that for all her female climbers she sends out, and it will give advice on that sort of thing. But generally, I mean, you just keep an extra plastic baggie, a Ziploc baggie with you, and you just keep it in everything in your backpack. And because you've got to what you carry on that mountain, you got to carry back out of that mountain. So it's like on Denali, they human waste as well. You've got to just take care of it and whatever else you need. But luckily for me, that's not really a issue.
Because what I'm thinking is if a woman of childbearing age is going up Everest, then there's no restrooms along the way that they could, you know, kind of refresh themselves and, you know, put clean stuff on. And I mean, how do you deal with something like that? I mean, it's cold.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I could say this is kind of uncomfortable.
I guess that's part of the struggle, and that's part of the willingness to suffer a little bit. But, you know, from you fly into a little village called Lukla, and then you'll hike for 8 to 10 days to get to base camp. And there you're staying in tea houses, which are, you know, compared to the tenting, they're quite luxurious. But anyway, so you'll have, there'll be little bathrooms there. But really, you just have to get used to, in your tent or wherever you are, just plug and play. Like, you have to just get used to taking care of it quickly and, you know, hoping for a little bit of privacy, or, you know, in your, with your tent mates, be like, hey, do you mind if I have a second to myself or whatever you need to do? But you do learn quickly, like on Denali, even just when you're in a rope team and you're roped up to other people, men and women, and you're climbing on Denali and there's crevasses everywhere. You can't, there's no tree to go hide behind. You literally have to just drop your pants and pee while in a rope line together. And so you have to kind of get over any sort of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, like, you just get over it, and no one cares, and it just is what it is, and it is freezing cold, no one can see anything, you're also like, hey, everyone, take a look at the scenery over there for a minute, so, and it's for men and for women, but it is harder, it is different for women, because men to go to the bathroom is much easier. Women, we literally need to kind of drop our pants, or they have these items called like she pees or go girls, and it's a funnel you can use, which you get good at too. So you could like stand up. But these are things that when you get to the higher mountains and that technical level, like you have to consider, how am I going to take care of all this stuff? You just do it though. Right. You do it.
So I talked to them yesterday. And, you know, in all walks of life and whatever endeavor, people must use tenacity if they want to succeed. Would you agree?
Yes, because the thing that people, I think, that stops them from moving forward is rejection or failing. It's hard. You're vulnerable. You face your weaknesses, your mortality. And that is really hard for a lot of people. Tenacity, and there's a difference between resilience and tenacity. We've talked about resilience. Resilience is really that ability to withstand hardship. Mm-hmm. Tenacity to me is that fire in your belly and that never giving up and that positivity and the willingness to keep moving forward towards your goal. And I used to call myself like the charming piranha. Be like, oh, I'll never give up. Never going to let go. I'm always going to keep doing it. And I think it is such a key ingredient to reaching your goals and reaching your full potential, is that ability to keep at it, get back up. And yeah, I think that's so important for any type of goal.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, what do you say to people who are tired of getting up, who have feeling burnt out, who feel that their efforts are not producing anything substantial? What do you tell people like that?
Yeah, it's, you know, and that does get hard. And I think also there is something beautiful that I've had to learn as I've gotten older, is the ability to identify when actually to let something go. Because I think sometimes you can hurt yourself if you just keep pushing and pushing, but there's actually no benefit, or maybe you don't know what's good for you. And I think when you're tired too, there is sometimes, you know, we need to give ourselves a break also. And sometimes we get burnt out because we're too hard on ourselves and it's not going where we want. And I guess I kind of learned this little lesson in ice climbing recently. So it's just like when you can learn to rest in your harness and sit back, like really trust your harness when you're on this vertical sheet of ice, sit back, push yourself back just a little bit, and then you get a different view of the ice and then you know where to move. And so I think that sometimes it is important to give yourself that break, and maybe in a way let a little bit of the universe answer it for you, and then you'll know where to start moving again, or take a few steps back to take a different look at it. Another great thing in life, I think, in career, and something harder for women is getting a mentor also. I found, like, women in STEM, a lot of times there aren't a lot of women that they can get mentors from. You can have a male mentor, of course, but I think of life too, when you are down, rely on those friendships you have. Rely on the people that love you to help guide you a bit and support you while you're still moving forward towards that goal.
So,
and that is part of tenacity. Oh, sorry. Oh, go ahead.
You've done mountain climbing for a while now. Is there a bond amongst women that you've climbed with after that?
But you know, there's such a big bond with your entire team. And I'd say though, I've had two female guides on the team. Usually there'll be like three guides. And on Elbrus, I had a female guide, Katarina, who was amazing. And then on Denali, I had a guide, Jenny. And that woman, I really did bond with her. You know, it is interesting with some women, like in engineering or in career or in life. I don't know why, but women find competition with each other. And I always say, you know what, that's a lie that we were told. We were told when we were little that women don't get along. If you choose that, then that's going to be your life. I don't choose that. And with this female guide, you know, what she's had to go through to be a guide on Denali is amazing. She's one of the strongest people I've ever met. And from day one, I just went to her and I'm like, I chose this trip because there's a female guide and I want to learn from you. And so I just set the expectations from the beginning. And she's like, okay, cool. Because she right away, she could kind of drop any type of toughness or whatever she needed to have gotten where she was. And she just relaxed right away. And she's like, all right, let's do this, girl, then let's go. And we are in touch today. I always joke with her. I say this thing like, what would Jenny do? And she's just amazing. I learned so much from her. We can learn so much from each other as women. If we drop our own insecurities or our own ego or whatever it is and help support each other. But so many women find that so threatening and they don't realize that we make each other better. We don't take away from each other. And that is a huge message that when I speak to women's group, I really try to get them to understand. And especially a group of women all working in the same direction with that tenacity and positivity, absolutely unstoppable.
So how many people will be climbing with you to the top of Everest?
Well, in my group, what I have heard, and it's a lot of it's still a mystery because they don't reveal the identities of a lot of the team I've got. I was lucky back in Uray, I was able to meet some people and since like I've gone out and climbed with a couple of them getting ready. But I've heard that there's 9 clients total and that could be split up between a couple different groups. We're going to have 3 major guides and then a Sherpa team. Now climbing the mountain, I don't know. Not all the numbers are in. I've read a couple articles saying that there's supposed to be a far less people on the mountain this year than 2019, which for me is a good thing, that it won't be as crowded. And it's because of the COVID restrictions. They're being very, very strict. It is interesting because we've had to sign a lot of paperwork agreeing to adhering to rules throughout the climb. And normally, part of the experience, I have to say, like the Olympics, part of the experience for an Olympian is the village and also, you know, meeting other people from different countries. It is part of it. That's not the reason they're going. It's the same with climbing Everest. Base camp becomes a city. And I have made over social media friends. I call them friends now because we chat, we DM. We haven't met though, but we're like, all right, base camp, we're all going to meet. We just signed paperwork saying that we will stick to our own group. Every group is quarantining. So it's a trade-off you have to make. Like, I'm going to Summit Everest. That's why I'm going. If I have to miss out this year on some of the other, you know, benefits and fun stuff, I'm willing to do that. But that's also kind of that tenacity. What is your goal? Don't give up. Don't let things get in your way. And So I'll be very bonded with my immediate group because those are going to be the people that, you know, you talk to, you go through things with during the entire climb.
Now, have you ever climbed and somebody else who climbed with you on a different mountain, have you ever found that to be the case? Will you know the people you're going to be with?
Oh, every once in a while, not typically, unless you can convince someone you know to go do it with you. For mm-hmm. Everest, there are a lot of people who will put together their own teams. You know, usually that comes with sponsorship and a bigger checkbook. But for me, the thing that I did is I went with the company that I knew was going to do the best job vetting people out and putting only people on this team that have the accolades or the resume to be climbing Everest. Put my mm-hmm. trust in this company. And so I have met two gentlemen that will be joining the group, and man, they're amazing. They're fantastic. They know their stuff. So that made me feel really good. But on Aconcagua, I had met some really cool people, and because you stay in contact. And then when I was ready to go do Elbrus, one of my friends from the Aconcagua trip that I had met on that trip, he was like, oh, I'll go do Elbrus too. So he did go. He went to Russia. We went and climbed that one together with a whole bunch of new people too. So especially when you're in the community a lot, and especially on social media, you start to get to know everyone. So when mm-hmm. I get to Kathmandu, there are going to be several people that we may not have met in person, but mm-hmm. we know the same people, we've messaged each other, so mm-hmm. it will be I won't feel like a new kid at school.
So I'm sure that there's people from all over the world. What percentage do you think come from the United States that will climb Everest with you?
That's a good question. And actually, in the background here, I'm going to GTS that. But I'd say a good amount. I'd say a good amount of people come from the United States. Okay. And then European countries, there'll be Italians, there'll be Germans, of course, and then a lot of Australians, New Zealanders. So, there's a lot of, it's interesting, there's always a lot of Japanese, I don't know about Everest, but just Japanese generally on trails too. So it is this amazing, like, I love how it is multicultural. And this is a drive and a passion that has no limits. it's everybody.
And when you climb with people from different nations, different parts of the world, is there a language barrier that you encounter?
Generally on my trips, they are U.S. speaking. Well, like when I went to Argentina, I did go with an Argentinian company, but mm-hmm. I went on the trip that had an Argentinian guide and the co-guide was from Canada. They both spoke English. They generally try to, all the ones that I've gone on, they generally try to have English speaking. But you will hear on the mountain, there's, you know, a completely foreign speaking guiding trips from their own countries. And but mm-hmm. they, as long as their main guides usually speak English so that the guides can talk together. But if they're mm-hmm. self-guided, I mean, they don't, they can speak whatever language they want and go do their thing.
Right. So from the time you get to Everest to the time you reach the summit, what's the time frame?
We plan for 2 months. So for sure, it's about 6 weeks of getting, you know, the first week plus some days is getting hiking into base camp. And then again, we start doing what's called rotations. And so we'll start going, you know, up through the Khumbu Icefall. We'll get up like camp, you know, 1, 2, and then we'll come back down to base camp. And so we start doing this up and then back down for a good 5 weeks. And that summit window will open at the end of May for 2 weeks. So anywhere in there, depending on weather, we will go for summit push. So I'll be on the mountain, yeah, anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh,
that's a long time. I know,
it
right?
I can't even imagine how anybody would prepare themselves mentally for a goal like this. Is it difficult?
Yeah, and that's where I think this gets so daunting for people, or it's hard to comprehend. It's when you look, and we've talked about this before, when you look at the end game of a goal, so when you look up at the top of Everest, and all your brain can think is like, there is no, how on earth would I ever do that? But the way that you do it is literally one step at a time, and the way that you do it for something like Everest or other 8,000 meter peaks, you need the practice under your belt and the practice of knowing how your gear works, what you're going to take, and the practice mentally, the having gone through multiple climbs and knowing that struggle, knowing that pain you're going to feel. That is the mental preparation, because that is what you will have to push through. I was, last Sunday, I just hiked in Colorado, Mount Quandary, which is, you know, there's like 54 peaks over 14,000 feet. So one of the guys on my expedition, Jim, he's in Denver, I was in Vail, and we met with a couple people and we just did a quick summit tag. And we were just chatting about it too, where, you know, we just know we're just prepared to hurt. We're prepared for the struggle. And we're talking in detail about how that summit push is going to go. It's going to be grueling. And when I'm in it, I'm going to be thinking like, man, how much money I paid to put myself through this. But right. We'll do it because we're used to it. We, you know, and you get used to saying in your head, pain is temporary. But there's also mm-hmm. that reward at the top, and the way that feels makes that struggle so worth it. But you cannot go from day hiking to climbing Everest because you haven't had that mental preparation to push you mm-hmm. through that 2 months. So, and that's why they have prerequisites to go do Everest. Really, make sure you can physically do it, but it's that mental preparation. Have you put yourself through hell before and come out the other side? If you have, then come join us.
And that is truly tenacity, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not, and tenacity is really, again, like that, like right now just talking about it, I literally get this fire in my belly. I've talked about it before. Like I connect with it. To where I feel like a puppy lab, like I can't wait to go outside, give me the ball. Like I get so excited about it and that tenacity, and even these little hiccups that come up, my boot's not fitting right, that's actually a pretty huge deal, but I am so tenacious and I am working night and day to get a solution. And in the back of my head, I know I'm like, I will get this figured out in the next, you know, 2 weeks. I'll get it figured out and I'll make it work. And if it's not perfect, I'll grit through it. And that is tenacity. I'm not giving up on myself. I know I'll figure it out. I know after all the years of everything I've gone through with, you know, my learning disability or being a female in engineering or mountaineering, I trust my survival skills. I will push through it. And it is what it is at the end of the day. And it's having the practice and be able to rely on yourself that really, you know, gets you on this never-ending tenacity. And for everything else that we've talked about before, it's practice. Practice your tenacity. Today is the day I'm not giving up on myself. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep at it. I was given a no. Well, I'm going to write again. I'm going to appeal. I'm going to go for it again. And it does take a lot of energy. You're right about that. But it is how you get to where you want to be.
You know, we have to close in a couple of minutes, but I got to say this. Back in 2007, I was diagnosed with lymphoma. And when the doctor gave me the diagnosis, I said something to myself. I said, how much does my life mean to me? So if it means a lot, then I am going to work hard to survive. And, you know, that's true tenacity, is every 3 weeks I had to sit in the chair, you know, and get that awful stuff pumped into my veins. And, you know, there was no guarantee that it was going to be successful. But, you know, I said, my life is important to myself. I have to do this. So I'm sure that what you do in your life and the inspiration you are to others, you know, means a lot to yourself as a person. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yes. And thank you for sharing that. And that you're so right about that. And that is, you know, you mattered enough to yourself to put your body through that, to try to get better. And for me, you know, I think about when I shattered my femur and, you know, I was having so many complications. And after a year of 24/7 horrendous pain, and the doctor's telling me, like, sorry, this is just your life. And that is where I found really my tenacity of like, no, this is not going to be my life. My life is not going to be chronic pain. I'm not going to have a cane the rest of my life. I want to climb a mountain again. And, you know, keeping at it and keeping at it. And I got my doctors on board with like, all right, well, let's just keep troubleshooting this then. And you know, we made a team. And it was that tenacity and to keep going. And I think that is so important for everyone to realize. It is not easy, but you're worth it, are worth it. Whatever your goal is, your health, you know, make yourself worth it and don't give up. Keep fighting.
So, Megan, do you think we're going to do one more show before you leave?
Of course we are. Let's do one more show. And then we'll do a show also, one or two, but I'm going to do a show with you from Kathmandu for sure.
Good.
And just kind of let you know what the scene is like, and we'll get it figured out. But we're getting ready to go 12 days, and I fly to Nepal. I'm so excited.
So you have been listening to Megan Buchanan. I'm Cynthia Poole. And real quick, tell everybody what your website is.
Yes, please go to grit.com. And hopefully you'll be able to follow some of my adventures there. On social media, Instagram is GetGrit, G-G-R-I-T. So, yes, please follow along. I really want to share the experience with everyone so you can kind of get a taste of what it's like to go climb Mount Everest.
Great. Thanks, Megan. We'll talk again. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks, Cynthia. Bye.